God Almighty. The choir is going to sing a song now called Holy Is He.
Thank you.
Says for two or more gathered in his name that he is there with us, so we are standing this morning on holy ground. Let's sing together. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Continue what the choir sang just a minute ago by singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's lift up his name this morning.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning a song shall rise to thee.
Father, Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory this morning. Just count it a privilege to be in your house to worship you, Lord. Lord, be with Brother Jay as he brings a message. Lord, if there's anyone in this auditorium today that don't know you, Lord, to just put a burden on their heart. Lord, just be with the offering we're going to receive. Lord, just let us give out of a cheerful heart, Lord, into your honor and glory. Lord, just bless the gift and the giver. These things we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father, you have given us that living hope through Jesus Christ. Thank you. How we praise you today in his sweet name. Amen. Amen. Can't thank you for doing such a good job of pointing us to Jesus Christ this morning. And choir and Nancy, I'm not sure I've heard you do any better. What a wonderful job this morning. So thank you so much. And we appreciate each one in that worship leadership. Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, what's the theme of this series?
Faith.
Faith. Now, it looks like we'll be going through the end of this month with this series. And the one that I'm sharing with you today, the message that I'm sharing with you today, and I think I told you this last week, but I'm not sure that out of this entire series, this message this morning is probably the most foundational message. Matter of fact, we call it the foundation of faith, but it's probably the most foundational message of this entire series. Get your listening sheet out, and we've got several things that will fill in with your listening sheet. So get a pen or pencil ready, and I'm going to give you many verses today. So get ready to write those down so that you can study them on your own later. And I cannot overemphasize how extremely important this particular message is in this entire series, but how important it is for you and me in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. And the concept of faith is very vital for us to live and walk and move victoriously day by day in our walk with the Lord. We're in the book of Romans chapter 10. I heard about a woman that rushed into the dentist office one morning. She was followed by her husband, and when she came in, she said, Dr. Benson, she said, I need a tooth extracted immediately. She said, I don't care about the pain or I don't care about what it's going to cost, and I don't care about anything other than the fact I need this tooth extracted immediately. I don't even need any Novocaine. My husband and I have to leave town as soon as we walk out of this office, and we're going to be gone for the weekend, but I've got to have this tooth pulled. And she said, you don't have to worry about me. I want it done, and I want it done immediately, and I just want to get it over with. And Dr. Benson looked at her and said, wow, I'm amazed. I don't think I've ever heard anyone offer anything like that. You are amazing and such courage and such stamina. He said, which tooth is it? And she turned to her husband and said, show him your tooth. You know, that's sort of the way we operate in our Christianity, to be honest with you. We point out other people's sins. And we try to tell others how they should live. And we try to explain God's will for others. And we want someone else to fix our problems. And we want to get to heaven on someone else's religion. And we want someone else to spoon feed us. And we want to function on other people's faith. Well, that ain't the way it works. And if you're an English teacher, please don't see me afterwards, okay? All right, here we go. We are in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I think so far in every message about faith that I've been sharing with you, I've made reference to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And here it is. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say that last phrase with me, would you please? By the Word of God. The foundation of faith. Our faith. My faith. Matter of fact, you might as well take that sermon outline and go ahead and start filling it in right there at the very top where it says the foundation of faith. Just put a little caret up there and then the word my, the foundation of my faith. And so if you want a tooth extracted, leave your husband at home, okay? All right? All right, here we go. And I've got lots to share with you. And like I said, I'm going to give you lots of scripture verses today. So get ready to write those down. All right, so here's number one, exporting of the Word. Exporting of the Word. Now, I cannot overemphasize the importance of the Word of God, the Bible. Now, if you got your Bible with you, then just hold it tightly, hold it preciously in your hand. And if you happen to use your Bible on your phone, then that's fine. I like having the real thing with me, to be honest with you. But if you happen to use your phone to read your Bible, then that's fine. If you're not reading your Bible on your phone, then shut your phone off, okay? Unless you are I can only think of two people that would really need your phone on, unless you're using it for the Bible. I can only think of two people that would need your phone in God's house, and that would be if you're a doctor or if you're a drug dealer, okay? Those are probably the only two that are going to get emergency phone calls today. All right, now, hold your Bible. I cannot overemphasize, my friend, how precious the Word of God is. And I cannot downplay the fact that the Bible is indeed the foundation of my faith. And why don't you say that with me? God's Word is the foundation of my faith. Okay, you ready? God's Word is the foundation of my faith. It's the foundation, the very foundation of our faith. It is, in fact, that which we build our faith upon. It's the stepping stone for our faith to function on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. Now, listen to God's opinion. Do you hear what I just said? Listen to God's opinion about His Word. Write these down, starting with Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Now look at this. For you have magnified your word above all your name. He's magnified his word even above his name. And listen, there's no greater name in all the earth than the name of Jehovah God. And there's no greater name in all the earth than the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And yet, what's it say? He has magnified what? His word. Even above his name. All right, here's the next one. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands how long? Forever. Here's the next one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto ye. All right, here's the next one. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. All right, here's the next one. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And finally, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So what's God's opinion of his word? All right, now listen to this. The sovereignty of God is overshadowed by the love of God. Now, I'm getting ready to explain that to you here over the next few minutes. But the sovereignty of God, and oh, you can be so grateful for this statement I just made to you. The sovereignty of God is actually overshadowed by the love of God. Now let's start with 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. So I want you to understand the sovereignty of God. There's none. There's none that compares to our God. There's none that compares to Jehovah God of the Bible. There is none. Now, there are a lot of gods in this world. They're all false gods. There's only one true living God, and he is Jehovah God of the Bible. He is sovereign in all the universe. But you remember the statement I just made to you about 2 minutes ago, and that is this, that the sovereignty of God is overshadowed by the love of God. We need to understand that God is God. He's not a man. And he is not created. He is the sovereign God of this universe who owes us absolutely nothing. I want you to hear what I just said. He owes us absolutely nothing. He's God. And there is none other. And he doesn't check in with me. Oh, there are lots of times I wish he did. There have been lots of times over the years I sure wish he'd checked my schedule before certain things happened. But somewhere in my ministry, I understood two things. One, there is a God. And two, I am not He. There you go, English teacher. I did that one right, didn't I? Now, this is going to shock some of you. There is a God, and you are not He. He owes us nothing. Nothing. He's God. He's sovereign in all the universe. Now, follow this. But His character of love has overshadowed His sovereignty. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. Did you ever learn that little song, did he? Yeah. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, lay them straight. Okay, I won't sing in the choir next week. What a great two verses. For God is what? Love. So I'm saying to you that the love of God has overshadowed the sovereignty of God, whereby God, even though He is God and He owes us absolutely nothing, God has chosen to tabernacle with us. God has chosen to set up His tent in these lowlands. God has chosen to step out of heaven into earth in order to display His love to mankind. In order to show you and me how much He loves us. Even to the point of going to the cross of Calvary and dying there for us. If you were looking for a spot to say amen, that would have been an ideal spot right there. Amen. That's how much He loves us. And His love has overshadowed His sovereignty. He has chosen to reveal Himself to us. Does He owe that to us? No. He owes us nothing. Absolutely nothing. But He's chosen to reveal Himself and to show us just who He is. And His character. And not only to show us that, but to invite us to participate in eternal relationship with Him. Are you even beginning to get a little excited about this? All right, so let me show you. We're still on point number one, aren't we? So let me show you. He's chosen to reveal Himself to us. So here it is, letter A, the revelation of God. the revelation of God. That came as a choice from God to reveal himself to man. And he has done this in three primary ways. And you've got them right there on your listening sheet. First of all, creation. He's chosen to reveal himself to us, first of all, through creation. Write these down. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that people are without excuse. How can you get to know God? Well, one of the ways is through his creation. Through his creation. How many of you are parents? And how many mothers were present at the birth of your children? Some of you ladies are sitting there thinking, that is so stupid, I ain't even going to raise my hand. I don't blame you. Just, if you take nothing else, the creation and the birth of a son or daughter ought to lead you to say, amen. There is a God. Amen. I mean, if you didn't deal with anything else in the universe, are you with me? Amen. Just that. I think that's why the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And even before we came out of the womb, every part of our body was formed. And God knew us even before. God has chosen through creation. And there are countless, countless ways that I could illustrate to you from the creation of the universe, that there is a God. Amen. Here's the next verse on that. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So God has done, the revelation of God has come to us in three primary ways. Creation. Here's secondly, the Bible. The Bible. Listen, from cover to cover, God has revealed himself to mankind. Do you want to know what God's like? Do you want to know who God is? Do you want to know about the attributes of God? Do you want to know about the sovereignty of God? Do you want to peek in to the very emotions of God? You want to peek into the mind of God? Read the book. Amen. From cover to cover, God has chosen to reveal himself to us and to expose himself to us in amazing ways, in phenomenal detail, right here. If you can read, and even if you can't read, get yourself some DVDs, get yourself a presentation of the gospel through CD and DVD, and expose yourself to God that way, from cover to cover. God reveals himself through his word. All right? And then the third way. We're talking about the revelation of God through creation, through the Bible, and through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Now, let me elaborate on that by just giving you point B. And so here's the exporting of the word, the revelation of God. Point B, the reflection of God. The reflection of God. Now, write these passages down. John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. Now look at this. He's dialoguing with Philip. And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Now look at this. He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Philip, show us the Father"? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Wow. What tremendous theology right there, which, by the way, has to do with the Trinity right there. But phenomenal theology right there in just a few verses. Amen. But I'm saying to you that Jesus is the reflection of God. And he is one of the foremost ways that God has revealed himself. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, and finally, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so God chose to speak words to us. Well, yes, he chose to give his word to us. Well, yes, God chose to be the very manifestation of his word through whom? Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. When was it? In the beginning. And the Word was with God in the beginning. Well, actually, the Word was God. God has exported the Word to us. All right, here's number two. Here's number two in your outline, expounding of the Word. Expounding of the Word. The Word has been exported to us. Now it must be expounded. The word has to get out. The word has to get out. So we're in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, but let's look at the beginning portion of this passage. Go back to verse 13. Back to verse 13. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Oh, we've got a dilemma. Even though the word has been exported and now it's been expounded. Oh, wow. Not everyone's believed it. Not everyone has embraced it. Have you? Have you embraced the Word? Have you embraced what you've heard of God? Have you embraced what you've heard from God? Have you embraced what you've heard about Jesus? Have you embraced what you know of Jesus? Have you embraced what Jesus did for you? He says not everyone has. So where do you fit in there? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And this is where he says, so then faith. Oh, wow. Must have something to do with faith. If we're going to embrace it, if we're going to believe it, if we're going to obey it, it must have something to do with what? Not only does it have something to do with it, it has everything to do with it. Because he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. The Word of God. So it needs to be, it needs to be expounded. And down through the centuries, the Word has been expounded in three primary ways. So here they are. First of all, production. Production. Now, to begin with, the production of the Word of God was phenomenally simple. It started with oral presentation. That's why God gives us instruction. Parents, that's why God gives us instruction. That the things that you've heard, the things that you believe of God, the things that you've heard about God, he tells us in Deuteronomy to teach them diligently, he uses the word diligently, unto our children. And then he tells us when to do it. He says when you're walking, when you're laying down, when you're rising up. Duh. Sounded to me like we're going to be pretty busy 24 hours around the clock. Given oral instruction to our children of the things that we know of God. That's how it started with production. And then it went to the scribes. I've often thought, being a scribner, I must be part of the scribes. Makes sense to this simple mind. So it went to the scribes. And God gave them certain instruction about the accuracy. The accuracy of how that had to be done. And then as time evolved and technology increased. Matter of fact, someone asked me just this morning, would you mind ordering something online for me? And I said, that sounds like it involves technology. I said, let's go talk to Mrs. Scribner. And I'll get that done for you. Well, as time evolved and technology developed, then the production of God's Word took on so many different facets until today, the 21st century, I'm telling you, for me, it's like hugging a fat lady. I don't know how to grab hold. The Don't send me an ugly email this week. Please don't. I'm not sure I can open it anyway. I mean, the means of the production of the Word of God in today's society is astounding. It's astonishing. I, for one, even as ignorant as I am with technology, I'm excited about technology because I'm excited about what it does do and can do and will do for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's production. All right, here's the second thing. Proclamation. You see, we're talking about expounding of the word. It's already been exported. It has to get out. So, proclamation. Look at, go back with me just for a moment in this same passage that we actually read moments ago. But let's zero in on verses 14 and 15 now once again. So, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So we're talking about proclamation. Now, let me just say one or two things about that. And listen very carefully. I enjoy worship. I enjoy our worship services. But I'm appalled over the fact that churches, and I'm not just talking about this church, although I know we've been in on it, churches, we get up in arms over the music. Well, I think it ought to be traditional. I think it ought to be contemporary. Well, I don't like the way we do traditional. I don't like the way we do contemporary. I don't care if we ever do contemporary. I think we ought to go back to two services where we're going to have contemporary and traditional. Now listen real carefully, real carefully. You can read that book from cover to cover. And it does not say that it has pleased God through the foolishness of music to save those that believe. Doesn't say that. It does say that it has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. You may not like your preacher. You may think this preacher's foolish. You think, oh, well, God's word's got that right. I'm just telling you, what honors God, my friend, is the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God. If we never sing another song, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, I love music. Ain't real good at it, but I love it. And I love it before I preach. And I love it to be part of a worship service. And the Bible does talk about music. But it's the Word of God that brings transformation to people's hearts and lives. It's the Word of God and the proclamation of the Word of God that sinks deeply into a person's heart and into a person's mind and into a person's spirit. I think if churches would get the foundation of our faith right, we probably wouldn't be bickering about how we're singing and what we're singing. Because we'd be so passionate about the Word and so much in love with Jesus Christ that whatever we're singing, as long as it exalts Jesus, and whatever style we're doing, as long as it exalts Jesus, we'd find ourselves worshiping Jesus. You can take me out for lunch this week. That was pretty good. And we hadn't even talked about that in advance. Acts 10. Write this down. We're talking about the proclamation. Acts 10, 36 and 37. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. The word which God sent. That's the proclamation. All right, and then here's the last thing under point number two, and it has to do personal. We're talking about proclamation. Personal. Personal. Look at 1 Peter, jot this down. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give a defense. John, I was on a plane years ago, and I like to visit on planes and witness on planes because the person sitting next to you, he ain't going anywhere. He's stuck. And so I was visiting with a guy, John, and for men especially, one of the easy break the ice top things is, you know, what do you do? And so I asked this guy what he did. He told me. He said, and what do you do? I said, I'm a public defender. Always be ready to give a defense. I said, I'm a public defender. He said, really? Yep. He said, how long you been doing that? And I just calculated how long I'd been saved. And I said, oh, I don't remember what it was, about 22 years. He said, boy, I bet you got some stories to tell. I said, I do. He said, how many clients have you had? I said, one. I could smell it burning. You're a public defender. You've been practicing 22 years and you had one. He said, how's that work? I said, I'm glad you asked. I said, let me tell you about my client. He didn't get saved, but he heard the gospel because he couldn't go anywhere. You need to be ready to give a defense. What? That's 1 Peter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Listen to this. It is up to each and every Christian. It is up to each and every Christian. We're talking about expounding of the word. Expounding of the word. It's not just for preachers, my friend. It's up to each and every Christian. Up to each and every Christian. Say that with me. Up to each and every Christian. Look at somebody next to you and say, it's up to you. Point a finger at them. It's up to you. Up to each and every Christian. Here's a study in the word you ought to do. Get in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, and start from the beginning and read it and ask yourself, or just read it as you read it, say, okay, how did the disciples grow? Well, in chapter 2, they added. And then 3 or 4 chapters later, they added. And then a couple chapters later, they added. Until finally, you'll see about 8 or 9, 10, something like that, they multiplied. Read that. Added, multiplied. There came a point where they move beyond addition. Because it's up to each and every Christian. Here's point number three. Here's the last thing I want you to see. We're talking about the foundation of faith. Exporting of the word. God got the word to us. Expounding of the word. We've got to get the word out. We've got to get the word out. And then exposure to the word. Exposure to the word. The word has to get out. But when it comes to faith, the word has to get in. Let me say that again. The word has to get out. God got the word to us. And the word has to get out. But when it comes to faith, it's got to get in. Everybody following this? Pretty simple. I've often said that I do my very best to get the jam and the jelly down on the bottom shelf where a short preacher can reach it. And this is pretty simple, folks. The word has to get out. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to my faith, when it comes to the foundation of my faith, the word has to get where? In. It has to get in. You have to be exposed to it. Now here's the tragedy with many, many people. You have to expose yourself to it. No, it's your tooth that needs to be extracted. Don't tell me about somebody else's. You have to expose yourself to it, to the Word of God. It has to get in to you, or else it's like any other book that's on your shelf. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Write these down. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Listen, faith is closer than you think it is, my friend. It's the word of faith that's in you, even in your mouth. That's why it's important, and I'll show you this here in just a minute, that we speak it forth, that we speak it forth. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. When? Day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Man, I love the rest of this. So then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Learning to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Write these five things down and we'll close this up. These five things. And I want to show you now in these five steps how faith applies to you. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. I want to show you how faith applies to you and how you must apply yourself to faith. These five things. Confrontation. And let's use John 3:16 as just an illustration. So say that with me, okay? Here we go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, so first of all, we have to be confronted with that. We have to be confronted with it. And whether we do it through creation, whether we do it through some production that's been done, whether we do it by hearing the word or listening to the word or some preacher standing up and saying, hey, here's a verse I want you to be aware of. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You ever heard that before? So we're confronted by it. Starts with confrontation. In one way or another. In one way or another, we're confronted by the Word of God, okay? Now here's the second word. Here's the second step. And that is personalization. Personalization. And you've heard this before. You've heard people say, okay, well, why don't you take John 3:16 and personalize it? For God so loved me, for God so loved Jay. Let's say our name together, okay? If it's not Jay, don't say Jay, okay? And so here we go. For God so loved Jay that he gave his only begotten son. Who is that? Jesus. That if Jay would believe in him, that he'll not perish, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. So we're personalizing. And I'm just using John 3:16 as an example. Every verse in the Bible, you do your best to personalize it. What's it mean to me? What's God saying to me? And I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how God can take one verse and somebody over here, I've had people come after sermons and I preached a sermon on salvation and I've had someone walk out and say, wow, man, that was a great sermon today, preacher. God's convicted me. I need to start tithing. Great. I think that's great. I don't remember mentioning tithing today. It's just the way God works. I preach sermons on tithing and two people get saved. What is this about? So God, he wants us to personalize it. So as you're in the Word and the Word gets into you, not only are you confronted by it, then you personalize it. All right, here's a third word, and that is memorization. Memorization. So somewhere along the line, I memorized John 3:16. Did you? Yeah. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against God. Now, I know for a fact there's 10 people. Right now, there's 10 people in here saying, well, pastor, at my age, I can't memorize anymore. Well, there's a Greek word for that, my friend. Baloney. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If I ask you what the recipe for something was, you'd rattle it off. 28 ingredients in it, and you know them. And you've only made it twice. And you men say, well, I don't memorize stuff. You and I could sit down, and for 30 minutes, you'd rattle off Boone and Crockett statistics and how close you came to breaking one of those records. And you know where the deer was shot and what part of the body he was shot and how much he weighed and how much he dressed out at. And you got it all memorized. You only read it once. So you can memorize, and we do memorize what we want to. I'm saying to you, let's hide God's word in our heart. Amen. That's part of this faith deal. And God's word instructs us to do that. And then, letter D is meditation. Meditation. And see, you can't meditate on God's word unless you know God's word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein, day and night. And there's a purpose for that, that you may observe to do. Ah, you reckon God wants obedience? Yeah, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous, And then you'll have good success. How's faith going to grow in you if you don't have the Word in you? It's important. I'm giving you something super practical right here. How do you apply this stuff, preacher? I'm telling you these 5 points. And then finally, what's the last point here? Application. Application. What do I do with it? Now that I'm meditating on it, now that God's making it personal to me, now that I'm looking how to obey it, okay, God, what do you want me to do about that? What do you want me to do about it? Well, He wants you to obey it. That's what He wants you to do. And so you're going to have to apply it when you wake up in the morning, saying, God, you show me what to do today, and I'll do it. And how's He going to lead you? By faith, through His Word. Because you see, faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. Oh, I cannot overemphasize how important this message is. I know it's been long. Thanks for your attentiveness. His Word is sure, my friend. Matter of fact, God has exalted His Word above His name. That's how He feels about it. Let me pray with you. Father, Your Word's amazing. Your Word's astounding. Your Word's phenomenal. Your Word is the very foundation of my faith. It's the very foundation of our faith. Help us to know Your Word, to be in Your Word, and let Your Word get into us so that we might learn to obey it and apply it and thereby function by faith, moment by moment, day by day, decision after decision, for our blessing and benefit and for Your honor and glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.